I'm not going to try. That's going to preach the word, right? Just preach the word. Now I could look over there and I could see Jimmy Lockshaw just singing away at that song. That was his one of his favorite songs, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. All right, for a few minutes here, let's look at our scriptures, which is going to be Matthew chapter 7. We're moving right through the Sermon on the Mount. We're on the last chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. We started with chapter 5, chapter 6. We ended last week. And now we're going to be looking at a message that we probably all had rather avoid, right? Judging. Judging. Jesus had a lot to say about that. And there's so much in here, I'm just going to look at part A this morning, verses 1 and 2, okay? Just going to look at these two verses and then probably finish up next week with the others. Jesus cautioned about judging others, and then verse 1 and 2, and then Jesus advised to first look at oneself, the inner self, and that's where it starts, isn't it? The inner being of our lives. Verse 3 through 5, and Jesus talked the use of discernment. Discernment, which is a very interesting topic in itself, and which that's why I entitled it, Discern Wisely, Think Wisely, using God's wisdom, and judge not. Okay, let's begin by looking at verse 1, Matthew chapter 7. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log, which is much bigger, right? That is in your own eye. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? Here's that word again, Jesus used to those who he knew their hearts. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, and do not throw your pearls before the swine. Those are hogs and pigs and things. Or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. He's talking about judging. Not the swine itself, but talking about judging. And it will do that to your life. So, this morning, I want us to look at what the problem of judging others, according to what Jesus is saying. And Jesus had quite a bit to say about that. He was about changing people's lives for the good. Now, the definition that I think that we need to look at this morning for judging or judge that appears to our passage means to form the judgment or opinion and to decide upon critically. Now, we can be critical, but we can be positive. But judging is not. So the key word here is critically. For when we judge others, we are often being critical of them, forming a biased opinion concerning who they are and what they have done. Now, the word criticize means to find fault and judge unfavorably or harshly. So in this passage this morning, as we look at this, we will see how Jesus warned about the problem of judging others and about the need to do something, introspection or spiritual examination. And Paul says that before we take communion, we need to examine ourselves internally before we open our mouth. Now, we also learn about something called discernment, and that's something that we need to do. Discern wisely and judge not. So, which is a similar to judgment, but something that is actually encouraged by Jesus. Discernment, discern. Seek Him. Ask Jesus. Ask the Lord, you know. Look at myself first before I look at others. All right, let's go on and look at Jesus' caution about judging others. Just going to look at these two verses quickly here this morning. Here Jesus taught against judging others here in verse 1. He stated, "With what judgment you judge, you will be judged." And the word judgment is defined as a decision which one passes on of the fault to others. Then next Jesus said, "With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." So we don't get away with anything, right? I mean, you know what? You've heard that saying, if you got a finger pointing out at someone, how many you got pointing back at you? Usually three, right? Unless you're pointing that way. But usually we're pointing one finger at others. So when we think about that, it is not good to judge. So the word measure is defined as a graduated staff of measuring rod, and a rule of standard of judgment. That's what Jesus is emphasizing here. He was speaking about the figurative yardstick. We will all use yardsticks, right? They're usually, 3 foot long? And so forth, and that you often hold next to an individual, like if you want a child or something, measure their height as they're growing and so forth. But Jesus was saying that we need to be careful about the standard we use to evaluate others and use discernment. This correct measure is the law of God, and God gives us the law. Jesus was setting the standard right here, better known today as the Word of God or the Bible. That's our standard. We should have the Bible as our main textbook. An evaluation of anything that we do in this life, whether it for ourselves or for the world itself or for others. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Amos once prophesied. He said in chapter 7, verse 8, "Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel." He won't say, how are we going to measure up to God's standards, His law He has given us? And they started with the Ten Commandments and so forth. That is a measure of how we should measure our life and the things that we do to measure up to God's standards. And Amos was saying, alluding to how the Lord was holding inside them His perfect law and the consideration of the possible judgment that would even come upon them. So since Jesus did not come to destroy the law, and that's what He said, I came to fulfill it. In Matthew 5:17, that's what He was saying. And meaning that He was embodied, He was encouraging the law. And we can now look to Him as the correct, perfect measure. But what we usually end up doing ourselves as a standard, we may not always measure up to that. So something that leads to judging others before consulting the Word of God is offensive. It can be, and it can be devastating as well. So I want to use John chapter 7 here, as Jesus once taught a group of Jews at the Feast of the Tabernacles, as he criticized them for healing a man on the Sabbath. Jesus said, "You circumcise a man on the Sabbath." And Jesus was bringing this to their attention. And then in verse 23, Jesus said, "Are you angry with me because I made a certain man completely well on the Sabbath?" They were doing things that then, contrary to what Jesus was saying, then they criticized Jesus for it. And Jesus was saying to them, "The law allows us of circumcision on the Sabbath, so why not healing?" They failed to apply the law practically because they were offended by what they had just been involved in themselves or had observed Jesus doing. So this group of Jews, and we can see the standard of the things that go on in our world today, just as the Jews did, whom Jesus addressed, allowed their jealousy, their anger, their offenses to distract them from the proper perspective of the law. Jesus uses grace, and he uses mercy. And oftentimes, it is not used by mankind. In John chapter 7, Jesus informed them, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteousness judgment." See, it has to do with the condition of our hearts. What kind of condition is our heart in spiritually? It's not so much on the physical side that we would look at other people, but it's a spiritual thing. And Jesus is saying, okay, judge with righteousness. And Jesus didn't, he became angry when they was misusing the temple for selling merchandise and things like that. And that was a righteous anger because they were defiling the temple of God. So we need to make sure that we are not so offended by what we see that we jump to some hasty conclusion. We need to know the circumstances. We need to slow down and take time to consider what the Bible has to say so that we can make a righteous decision instead of a rash one. Think first. Jesus says, think righteously. Discern my scripture. Discern word of God. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 2, Jesus continued to say, "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged." Now, when I'm thinking about this one verse here, "For what judgment you judge, you will be judged." And I'm thinking this statement sounds similar to one that we often hear today, "What goes around comes around." Right? You've heard that before, haven't you? And when we judge others, what comes around or what comes our way is a result of human nature and vengeance and cosmic force. Sometimes we use force. You see, there are some people who, if we offend them, will do everything in their power to come back at us. It seems like it's the human nature to get even. And that's what Jesus said. You know, if you got to check down log or the plank or whatever in your eye before you look at others. So, my suggestion, I don't try to give advice, but I give suggestions, is that based on my understanding of what the Bible, the scripture says, is that when we judge someone, we need to ask for their forgiveness or do everything in the power to make things right. Communication. Make things right. Communicate. Don't be passive, but be open and sensitive to one another. First of all, it is the right thing to do, right? It's the right thing. It's the godly thing to do. And secondly, if we don't, it will come back to bite us or get us. It will. But getting back to our main passage of scripture, what Jesus said, we must be careful not to pass judgment on others. I like to go back and forth in what was taught in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament touches on this as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, 35, 36, it is not actually our place to judge. It's not. One of these days, we're going to stand before the ultimate judge, Christ. And whatever and when we stand before him one of these days and whatever he tells us, it's going to be right, isn't it? And we'll stand there and we'll have to agree with him. We might not agree with one another as we're just here on this earth with one another, because there's always two sides. But on the side of Jesus, he always judged righteously. He judged with love and care. Now, the Bible tells us that we can evaluate someone based on their fruit. Now, you've often heard me say this, and I've said this many, many times. We are not to judge, but according to what this says right here, Matthew 7:17, Luke 6:44, we can be fruit inspectors. Vicky's laughing because you've heard me say that, haven't you? We can be fruit inspectors. If we're bearing fruit for the Lord, if we're bearing fruit, we're going to see good things coming forth, not only out of our life, but out of others as well. Now, in conclusion this morning, Deuteronomy 32, that I just mentioned here, God says in verse 35, the first part, I'm not taking the whole strips of 35 and 36, but just the main key focus here is vengeance is mine and recompense. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord in Deuteronomy. And then verse 36 says, for the Lord will judge his people. He will judge his people. So it's God's place, right? Not ours. God's place to judge, for the justice belongs to him. Him alone. You know, because he knows a lot better than we do. He knows what's in our heart. He knows what's in other people's heart. He knows before we speak. He knows us inwardly and outwardly. And it has been said, in judging others, we are placing ourselves in God's place, taking his scepter. You know, the Bible talks about God's scepter into our hands and presuming to exercise one of his so exclusive rights. God has the right. We do not have the right to judge. And then James 4:12, James says, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. I like that verse there. Only one lawgiver and judge, the one who's able to save and destroy. You know, John 3:17, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world, but 17 said, Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the sinners and give them eternal life. That's the sole purpose. But one of these days that we stand before the Lord, we will stand before Him clothed in righteousness, and those of this world that do not know Him will stand before them unclothed in their lives and their sin. Jesus has such an awesome love for us. That's why He came to this world. That's why James 4:12 says that He is able to save and will save those who will come to Him. He is a righteous, righteous judge. And we have a lot to learn from this passage of Scripture here. And Jesus put this part here in chapter 7 for a particular reason, because of the actions of the Jews and the high priests and those of that day who was taking law into their own hands. If we would think and use discernment, that's the wise route to go. Always the best way, God's way. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise Your holy name. We thank You that You have given us Your Scriptures, and we can take them and read it, just not one time, but as many times as we need to be able to discern, for Your Holy Spirit to help us interpret what we read so that we can apply it to our lives. And a lot of times we speak before we think. Our action sometimes jumps out in front of us, and then we can't bring it back or reel it back in because it's already taken place. But if we use Your wisdom, Lord, You help us discern the good things, Lord, in our lives that will pull others or help others see Your righteousness, and Lord, they can be saved. One of these days, this world will be destroyed, as James tells us in this verse 12. You came to save us, but one of these days, this world will be destroyed, just like it was in Noah's day, because the people wouldn't listen. And our world hasn't changed a whole lot. People are still going their own way, seeking their ways rather than Yours. Father God, I pray that whatever our needs are here today, spiritually, I will include the physical and then emotion things that we encounter each day. But Lord, the spiritual takes care of all of it when we yield our Holy Spirit, our spirit, to Yours. Today, whatever the needs are, whatever we need to confess, whatever we need to turn over to You or give to You, help us to do that openly, that we might be blessed by Your presence and by your comfort and Your peace that You give us, the joy that we have in Your, because we have salvation in You. During this invitation, Lord, let Your Holy Spirit take priority. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our closing song.